Muy buenas tardes. Un saludo al misionero Miguel Hermúdez Marín y a todos los ministros, hermanos.
Good afternoon. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and to all the ministers, brothers and sisters who are gathered today, Friday, November 1st of this year 2024, and to everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 and other means of communication. On this occasion, let us search in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 9 and on, which is the scripture that he read to us. Let us read the first three verses of this scripture that he read to us. He tells us, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. May God bless His word in your hearts, and allow us to understand it on this occasion. This subject that we will be seeing and hearing on this occasion, our goal, to finish the work that God gave us to do. You may please be seated. This message was preached on June 29th, on a Sunday of 2014, in Bogota, Colombia. The message we will be seeing and hearing on this occasion. Dr. William Soto Santiago tells us, in the message, Fighting the Good Fight, preached on April 15, 2002, in Cali, Valle del Cauca, Colombia, he tells us, but where is the last battle won? In the age of the cornerstone. And with that battle, the devil and his army are eliminated, and the millennial kingdom of Christ is established. Now, since the human being has body, spirit, and soul, we find that in the body itself are represented the different stages or ages of the church. In the neck, including the neck and down, that corresponds to the seven ages and to the gap between the seventh age, which is the age or stage where the Spirit of Christ was put out of the Laodicean age. Remember the drawing that he made us. At the bottom part of the cornerstone, which includes the neck, all the way to the bottom part of the foundation of the apostles. And he placed there all that stage which belongs to the dispensation of grace. And when he used to tell us that the door of the dispensation of grace was about to be closed, well, there we see where he was at with each one of us, because the book was not taken yet, because he was still making intercession in heaven for the very last elect. And until the last elect came in, the door of the dispensation of grace had to remain open. Now, after God carried out that gathering of those elect of God, the door of the dispensation of grace would close. But notice that in order to make that separation and segregation, it had to be done under the dispensation of the kingdom, where the group of elect would be alive, but that also the tares would be there. And he could not establish his kingdom, which is in the spiritual sphere, but in order to establish his kingdom in the physical, he has to make a separation. Now notice that there, in the millennium, we can also see that there is a work out of all the ones that will be done at that time, because notice that the nation that does not take to Jerusalem, take there where the headquarters will be, and it will be the federal district, and all the offices will be there of trade and agriculture and of everything. Let us see in Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16 says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of the tabernacles," which that feast is represented in the seventh age, which will be fully fulfilled during the millennial kingdom. "And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacles." It also says there in Isaiah where it says that the 100-year-old child shall be cursed and the sinner. But let us finish here and then we'll read that scripture. "This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yeah, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them, and seethe therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts." In Isaiah 65, let us see there what he tells us. On verse 18 says, "But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." Notice that there is a labor that will continue to be done in that kingdom, which begins, notice, in this sphere that we are in these earthly bodies, which that labor is of the rapturing faith to the church bride, and the separation of the wheat and the tares. Because notice that since the third pool covers all the groups and all the spheres, that then continues on a larger scale during the millennial kingdom. In other words, those ministries continue with that instrument during the millennial kingdom. Now, notice, here in a writing that he left for us in a notebook, it says, "The seven ages and their seven angels disappear from the earthly scene of night time, for the human race. And they will only be seeing the bright and morning star manifested through his angel messenger in the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom, announcing a new dispensational day, the seventh dispensation of the kingdom, and the seventh millennial day, where the light of Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shines, and the church is clothed not with the moon, but rather with the sun. Revelation 12:1-17. Son of Righteousness in his second coming. Now notice, if the light will not be seen anymore through the seven angel messengers, because notice, they disappear at night, because the seven ages represent that night time. And you then stop seeing that light of the star. Which light would the church bride would be seeing? Well, she must be looking at the light where Christ, the Son of Righteousness, is and would be manifesting himself in the midst of the church bride, because the morning star is Christ, the angel of the covenant, and he is also the Son of Righteousness. Now, in order to see him, well, it must be through a veil of flesh, as he was seen in each age of the church through his messenger. You cannot see a star, you cannot see the Son of Righteousness, if that symbolism is not manifested in the midst of the human race. There must be something to symbolize it. So the morning star is the same evening star that is seen, and the Son of Righteousness is there already, which is going to symbolize what? The instrument where God is carrying out the work he promised, and the elect would be seeing that which was symbolized. Now, he continues here in the writing. But with the Son of Righteousness in his second coming, she is clothed with the second coming of Christ to obtain the garment of the new body, and thus be clothed upon. It is like a man that wears his pants and suit, but he has more clothes under that. And likewise, under the physical body, there will be the theophanic body, which is the closest to the soul. Let us read it all at once. The seven ages and their seven angels disappear from the earthly scene of nighttime for the human race. And they will only be seeing the bright and morning star manifested through his angel messenger in the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom, announcing a new dispensational day, the seventh dispensation of the kingdom, and the seventh millennial day, where the light of Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shines, and the church is clothed not with the moon, but rather with the Son of Righteousness. There he wrote Revelation 12:1-17. The Son of Righteousness in his second coming. She is clothed with the second coming of Christ to obtain that garment of the new body, and thus be clothed upon. It is like a man that wears his pants and suit, but he has more clothes under that. And likewise, under the physical body, there will be the theophanic body, which is the closest to the soul. Now, our brother William continues to say here, how was he put out? Well, he was manifested in his angel messenger. And when they closed the door to the angel, they have closed the door to Christ, who was in his angel of the seventh age. And then, we find a stage where the Holy Spirit moved in the seventh angel messenger, outside of the denominational systems. And during that time, was when the seals were opened. It was made known in advance what God will do later on when Christ finishes his work of intercession in heaven and rises up from the Father's throne, takes the title deed, opens it in heaven, and makes his claim in work. On the Book of the Seals, on page 134, he says, "We all know, as Christians, that God swore to David that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne and give him an everlasting kingdom here on earth. He did it. And Jesus said, 'He that overcomes the Antichrist and all the things of the world shall sit with me on my throne as I have overcome and have sit down on my Father's throne.'" See? "Now someday, and there he draw a star toward the right, and there is a cornerstone there, and the ages, the last three, and the arrow towards the cornerstone. Now someday, which day? The day of the dispensation of the kingdom and age of the cornerstone. Now someday, he rises from the Father's throne and goes to take his own throne. There to the left, he writes future. And take his own throne. Now he comes forth to call his subjects. How is he going to claim them? He's already got the book of redemption in his hand. And there to the right, he writes future. Because, notice, the title deed is required in the midst of the human race to carry out the claiming work. The claiming work cannot be carried out without the title deed. Therefore, that claiming work was not done in any of the ages, nor in the time of Dr. William Soto Santiago, because none of them would be living in the time of the dispensation of grace, where the title deed would be in the midst of the church in a man, and thus carry out that claiming work. Now he goes on to say, in other words, the reality of Christ rising up from the Father's throne, taking the title deed, which is the book of the seven seals, and open it in heaven, that hasn't been fulfilled yet. Notice, there he then says it pretty clearly. But God is reflecting in the Reverend William Branham what he will do later on. The same thing that happened with our brother William. God was reflecting what he would do later on. And many people still don't manage to understand that. And they get tangled up. And they stay with that mess of fishing line tangled up in their feet, as it happened with Brother Branham, which the angel told him, "Don't get your line tangled up in these kind of times." In other words, that is what God has also been telling us. This time is a very delicate time, which is not the time to get tangled up. And both ministers and believers, that exhortation is for everyone. That is why he had to speak about the seven ages and everything that happened in the seven ages. He spoke in the book of the seven ages when he preached that series. And then in the seven seals, he also abounded more regarding on everything that happened then, of how the Spirit of God moved and how the spirit of the wicked one moved in those different stages. And the spirit of the devil in the ages. Notice on page 99, paragraph 857. There it tells us, that is from page 543 on the Book of the Seals, that excerpt is from there. It says, remember, Satan will try to impersonate. He'll try to impersonate everything that the church will do. And there to the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone. In other words, where will he try to imitate? In the cornerstone. He says, he tried to do it. We noticed it through the Antichrist. But this is one thing he cannot impersonate. there'll be no mimics to this. In other words, they can do whatever they want to and try to imitate what they see and try to lead the people astray. Because notice, it was prophesied that they would deceive, if possible, the elect, but the elect would not be deceived. In other words, that which would be carried out in that third pool, only the instrument knows what to do so that the people of God receive the rapture in faith. But the instruments of the wicked one will never know it. For the first and second pool, by Brother Branham showing it openly, there were many imitators. But for this third pool, that instrument will keep it all as a secret and will only speak what the people needs to know. He will keep the rest to himself, and he will be working with and through that revelation that God has given him and will continue to give him to carry out and fulfill everything pertaining to the third pool. If he saw the pillar of fire speaking to someone above him, it was to that instrument. And just like from age to age, he spoke to each messenger, and he was showing them everything corresponding to that age. But notice that he would not give him everything at once, but rather progressively. Like when Brother Branham said that the bride would go through the tribulation, notice later on he corrected that. And notice that when he talked about the gifts, and he also spoke about the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit, which was to speak in tongues and all those things, later on he also corrected that. The evidence that a person has the Holy Spirit is that believes the message and messenger of his age. Now, that's also how it happened with Dr. William Soto Santiago. In the decades of the 70s, he first started with all that teaching and pointed the people to Brother Branham. And he said that he was the fulfillment of the second coming. But notice later on, it was seen more clearly that there was an age above. And then he started understanding who he was. And he spoke and preached as if the fulfillment of that promise was also in him. But after 2000, notice, by entering into that seventh stage, when he said, we are entering into the seventh age, and we do not know how far this stage will go to. There, he was already showing that we were still in the dispensation of grace, which he did not know before, because God was also showing in him what that new dispensation would be. And then he used to say more plainly, the door of the dispensation of grace is about to close. And he also said the title deed is still in the hands of God, which he also says in this message that we're reading. And he also said that the half hour of silence had not yet started. And before, he preached about that, that the half hour had already started and that we have been in that half hour for such and such a time already, and that the dispensation of the kingdom had begun. But notice, all of that was a reflection, a type and figure, of what that new age and that new dispensation would be. But now is when all of that is being understood by God's elect, because it has already passed from the subconscious to the conscious of the elect, only to those attributes of God. To those who are not, it cannot be passed on to them, or that revelation cannot pass from the subconscious to the conscious, because that is not planted in their subconscious. And by not being there in the subconscious, it cannot go to the conscious. They do not have that revelation in their subconscious. Only God's elect have it. That is why some believe and some do not believe. As we read in the Wednesday's message, there are two ways. Either believe or not believe. In other words, there are no middle grounds there. Now, he continues saying here, there'll be no mimics to this, see, because he don't know it. there is no way for him to know it. It's the third pool. And above he writes, the seventh seal is the third pool. Satan will imitate. He did it in the ages. Now, that's what he's telling us here, he says. On how the Spirit of God moved and how the Spirit of the Wicked One moved in those different stages. Now, the title deed is still in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Notice there he says it directly. That is why, in other words, therefore, if the title deed was in the Father's throne at that moment, then the claiming work was not being carried out. As simple as that. That is why the Reverend William Branham said, this is the way it will be when the last elect comes in, and when Christ rises up from the throne of the Father, but yet that lies in the future. So notice, although the seals were open, they're not open. That will be when Christ rises up from the Father's throne and opens the title deed in heaven and brings it to earth and gives it to a man. And thus, he will give the title deed to a man. The title deed, as Brother Branham says, that the title deed is of what? Of heavens and earth, so that he may eat it. In other words, after rising from the throne of the Father, taking the book, it's not about taking it and keeping it with him in his hand, but rather, that instrument was told, ask the angel for it, so that you can eat it. Ask for it, and it's not about just asking for it and holding it in your hand. But remember, it's an abstract book. What he gave him is the revelation. What he asked for is the revelation. Give me the revelation. Give me the revelation to give the rapturing faith to the children of God. Give it to me. And he gave him the revelation, and he ate that revelation. And hearing those words was sweet to him. It was sweet to him to hear the revelation containing the seven thunders, the rapturing faith. But it was bitter to him. Because when he made his belly bitter, he was also told everything that would happen to him because he ate that title. Because he ate that revelation of the thunders. Because of eating the rapturing faith, the content of what that mighty angel coming down from heaven, who had the title deed in his hand and giving it to that man, he knew that after eating it in that claiming work, there would be suffering, there would be persecution, there would be criticism. But he said, I will continue until that group of elect receives the rapturing faith, and we are all transformed and raptured. Because that is the commission that God gave to that instrument. Go and ask the angel to give you the book. That is, to give you the revelation. Now, notice he goes on to say, and that is how the title deed is restored to the human race by the second Adam, who is Jesus Christ, giving it to a man who will be living on earth. It cannot be a man who has gone, who has been in his earthly ministry and left. It has to be a man who is living at this end time, who is alive. Now, Christ knows all those whose names are written there. And that is why from age to age, he has been calling them and gathering them in his mystical body of believers. And he has been carrying out the spiritual work from age to age. But we still need the physical part, which is our transformation, which is the adoption of all the sons and daughters of God. Now, if we say that the seals are not yet open, anyone who doesn't understand this could even get upset with us and say, they were already open. But we find that the Reverend William Branham himself was the one who said that they were not open. And when he spoke about the seventh seal, he said, it isn't open. That will happen later on. So, everything was a reflection. And notice where he's preaching this in Cali, Colombia. In other words, notice, we cannot preach and speak about things the way our brother Branham was speaking them, in an intellectual way, but rather it must be by revelation. That is why you cannot add nor take away from what the Reverend William Branham said and Dr. William Soto Santiago said in their messages, because all of that has a prophetic meaning where they were bringing the revelation of what would happen later on. And if you take all that and say it just exactly as they were saying it in their time, then you will be thinking and believing one thing when God has not carried out that yet. And they are thinking and may think that that was already fulfilled when that is what God is fulfilling today. And so what they do is actually fighting against it. That is why we must be very careful, and the best thing to do is to pray to God, for God to give you His guidance, His revelation, and not to do, as we say, blurt something out, speak without thinking. But the best thing to do is to wait and hold on and pray to the Lord, so He may open our understanding, open the Scripture to us, and what we do not understand, pray to the Lord and wait. So He says, everything was a reflection, Christ reflecting Himself in the Reverend William Branham and showing in that reflection what He will do later on. Therefore, we have to understand these things, because otherwise people would be all confused. See, they would be what? Confused, if these things are not understood. Notice on page 106 in this book of the seals, let us have it there also so we can see the writings. Brother William says, quote on this page, and all the souls under the altar, when the angels, when the elders, therein souls under, he writes, sixth dimension. When the elders, when the everything seen it, to the right, he writes, everything lays in the future. When this is done, it yet lays in the future. Tonight he is a mediator, but he is coming to this. And to the left he writes future, and on the other book he writes, it is in the future, also wrote it to the left. And where it says lays, there an arrow towards cornerstone and the ages. And now let us go to another place, says Brother William, another place where he speaks about this, the seals, page 111. He begins to read, and also in the book there on that page, there he has a writing or two. He says, I, as your servant, offer this prayer to the great intercessor Christ. As they pray, I offer my prayer with them upon the ivory throne of God, where the bloody sacrifice is setting there tonight, and most any time might step from the throne to come forth to claim his possession. To the right, he writes, future. Then there is no more mercy left. It's judgment. And on the left he writes judgment there on the book. Now, our brother William continues saying, there we have a passage where he says that everything still lays in the future, that he is still on the throne of intercession. Let us see if we can find another place to have three witnesses. Three witnesses here. There's one place, I'm not sure if Miguel has it, on page 109, he says. And there he also has a writing in the book, he says. Come while the mediator, as far as I know, is still on the throne, making intercession, because there will come a day when you'll want to come, and there will be no mediator. And on the left, he draws a Star of David, and to the right he writes future, and he writes Revelation 11, verse 15. Brother William says, and when does Christ take the title deed? When he leaves the throne of intercession. Then on page 110, he says, and there he quotes this part also, where there is a writing in the book as well. He says that it will now be turned loose, and that the Lamb, that bloody holy kinsman that comes walking forth from the throne down through the mystic lights of the corridors of God's throne, walk out to claim his inheritance. And to the right, he writes on the book, future. And our brother William continues saying, here we've seen in these passages we have mentioned that everything lies in the future. Now, notice how he, God, Christ, reflected what he will do at the last day. He reflected it in the Reverend William Branham. He says on the seals, page 107 to 108, talk about a jubilee. There he's quoting that page and also the book. We also have a writing there, a few writings there. Talk about a jubilee. Talk about a time when that lamb walked forth, see? The book is even sealed in heaven. The mysteries are. Says, is my name there? I don't know. I hope it is. But if it is, it was put on the book before the foundation of the world. And to the left he writes the name in the book. And he drew a Star of David, also to the left. But the first thing that represented that redemption, come the Lamb that has been slain from the foundation of the world. And he took the book, glory, opened the book, there to the left he writes future, and tore off the seals, and sent it down to the earth to his seventh angel. And he writes seventh dispensational angel. Now we can see that that instrument, that veil of flesh who is alive in the midst of the church today, is the seventh dispensational angel messenger, the seventh angel, which pertains to the dispensation of the kingdom, where the angel that was different from the rest, who was the one with the seventh seal in the constellation there, who appeared to the Reverend William Branham in that constellation of angels, who is the one with the seventh seal, that angel is Christ, who comes with his angels in his coming and manifests himself, reveals himself through that instrument to the church bride. As simple as that. To reveal it to his people. And if he has to reveal it to his people, then he has to have an instrument. And who is the instrument? The seventh dispensational angel messenger. Because God always uses a veil of flesh to speak to the people. Amos 3:7. The Lord will do nothing without first revealing his secrets to his servants, his prophets. And if he closed the dispensation of grace and opens the dispensation of the kingdom and brings the title deed, he gives it to a man. How is he going to take it back again? Well, the church bride must have and must look for that instrument to who he gave that title, that revelation. And in that man, the one who has eaten that revelation, that book, seek him, and there identify who that messenger is. Do you see how simple everything is? There you are. Oh my, what happened? The screams, the shouts, the hallelujahs, the anointed, the powers, the glory, the manifestation. And he goes on to say, our brother William, and now since the seven angel messenger of the seventh age is the instrument where God is reflecting everything he will do when Christ finishes his work of intercession in heaven and opens, takes the title deed and opens it in heaven and brings it to earth and gives it to a man. Since the seventh angel messenger of the seventh age is the instrument where God is reflecting all of that, well, he has to do how it will be done later on. And you will notice, this is how it was with Dr. William Soto Santiago, who was the closest one. But notice that later on, when he spoke to us quite plainly on many occasions about the work that he was carrying out in the midst of the church, which he spoke to us plainly there in 2016, so that the people could understand what his work was, the work of the Holy Spirit through him, where he told us that had been sent from the presence of God to bring these good tidings, this news, and the sooner I give them, the sooner I can leave. You will notice that he is showing there who he was. He was none other than that mighty Archangel Gabriel, who, in the first coming of the Lord, brought the good tidings to Mary, who represents the church bride. And he was in the midst of the church bride, bringing us those news, those good tidings. And he was showing us everything that would be the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, bringing us the rapturing faith. But notice, he did not bring that revelation of the seventh seal. The revelation that is contained in the thunders, which contains the rapturing faith. Now notice in a writing, also from a note card, he wrote to us there, the third pool in the tenth vision is the ministry of a God. He should be of a son of God who is adopted, a descendant of Melchizedek, who Melchizedek, he writes Jesus on top, his father will adopt. And he writes, just as God adopted Jesus. And he draws a cornerstone. His father will adopt. And that is the angel of Jesus, who ministers the prophetic and eternal message of the gospel of the kingdom to every people, nation, tongue, and king, and was represented in the prophets of the Old and New Testament, in the apostles, and in the seven angel messengers, and in Jesus himself. Now notice how that angel is the one that ministers the message of the gospel of the kingdom, which is in the midst of his church, in human flesh, in that angel messenger. Because an angel, a prophet, is a messenger to the church, which was seen in the seven ages, and also in the Old Testament, each prophet was a messenger to that time, where God sent him to. But notice that that angel, who is the Holy Spirit, which Brother Branham said, when this Holy Spirit we have, in other words, you will notice, he was working throughout the ages, but there will come a time when he would become incarnate, and the people would receive that revelation of the mystery of the second coming of the Lord. And there then he says, and that is when we will crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now he continues saying, that is why, notice, even though he was opening the seals, in reality, the seals, the book of the seals, is still closed in heaven, in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. That is why he could not say, for example, the mystery of the sixth seal, which are Moses and Elijah, he could not say the name that they would have, and so on, and so forth. Now today, that mystery of the sixth seal, notice, when he said that the seals were open, here he gives us a small, simple example. Anyone could say, at that time, the seals are open. So what is the name of the instrument in whom the Holy Spirit is operating the ministries of Moses and Elijah? Oh, I don't know. For example, at that time, those of Brother Branham could say, he has already said that the seals are open. Now, tell me the name of that ministry of Revelation 11. They don't know it. In other words, they do not have the knowledge of that mystery because it was not open. In other words, speaking in terms of the fulfillment of what that seal would be in the midst of the church. Because the fourth seal, notice, is a four-toed seal. The fifth seal, well, part of it was fulfilled in that persecution that took place. And in that time, back then, of the Holocaust and all that. That whole time. But notice that there is still a part that pertains to the 144,000 whom will also be persecuted and killed. And notice the sixth seal, which pertains to the ministries of Moses and Elijah, the name was not known. Nor was the mystery of the seventh seal, which is the coming of the Lord. Because the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, notice what the seventh seal is to the church, which is the coming of the Lord. That instrument has a name. And the sixth seal, which is Moses and Elijah, the seventh trumpet to Israel, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah. They also have a name because those ministries would be operated by God at the end of time in a man. The ministry of Jesus, of Moses and Elijah. Now, which is the name? At that time was not open. But notice that today we can already see clearly the name, the instrument in the age where we are, and everything that God promised that the fulfillment of the third pool would be. We have even identified the tenth, even the place where he's at, see? Because that whole mystery is already being opened. Now he continues to say, and now we can see that there is a great mystery there. And when he takes the title deed, notice, he will bring it to earth open, and he will give it to a man. And then, that words become fully flesh in that man, and he will receive the restoration to the physical eternal life, which is the transformation of his body. Now notice that the reason he will be able to say, no one takes my life, I lay it down of myself to take it again. In other words, just as Jesus was adopted, and when he was crucified, judge crucified, and he carried out everything related to those 3 days that he went down to the lowest parts, and he preached to the souls that were in prison, who were disobedient in the time of Noah. Then he went through paradise, all that work, and he rose up on the 3rd day. He resurrected. Only one man who has been adopted and who does not go into that time of corruption. That was fulfilled in Jesus. But notice that none of the 7 angel messengers, nor Dr. William Soto Santiago, fulfilled that promise. In other words, the second man on this earth who, while being alive, his body will not reach corruption, because first it was Jesus, the fulfillment of the angel of the covenant, the word, the logos in a man called Jesus. Notice, when he finished his work, or carried out his work for which God sent him for, he gave his life. He says, I lay it down. No one takes it from him. He lays it down himself. I lay it down. In other words, he would let everything happen to take it again. He rose on the 3rd day. None of the messengers who have been in the midst of the church during the dispensation of grace have risen. All of them will rise in the resurrection when Revelation 11 carries out that work and passes through the 6th dimension. First he goes to the 7th. Then he goes through the 6th dimension. A judgment will take place there. And then after his resurrection, as it happened in the first coming of the Lord, after the resurrection of the 2 olive trees, then the rest will resurrect. Now, there is something there that will be carried out in those days, which Jesus carried out with his disciples when he resurrected. Now notice, on this writing also, on this note card, he writes, the son who is adopted. He wrote that there. And he says, after John the Baptist, the forerunner of the first coming of Christ, came Jesus, the forerunner, who was adopted on Mount Transfiguration. He was the Word made flesh in a man of that time. And after the forerunner of the second coming of Christ, the Reverend William Branham, comes the one he forerun, who will be adopted at the last day, equals in the 7th millennium, where the angel of the covenant, the Holy Spirit, Christ, the Word made flesh, will be in a man of this time, who is the angel of Jesus. And we can see that the promise of that instrument in whom God will be operating or would be operating the ministries of Moses and Elijah, notice, he has to carry out a work. And at the end, what that sister dreamt, at the end, as Revelation 11 says, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends, the beast will kill them. But notice that he will rise again. That did not happen in any messenger. That is what will be fulfilled at this end time by Revelation 11, that instrument. But everything noticed is in such a simple way that if we do not watch, Brother Branham says, many people will overlook it. But the elect will not overlook that revelation, that manifestation, but rather everyone, along with the final ministry, will reach the goal that God has set for them, the goal that God gave us to do. As today's subject, our goal, to finish the work that God gave us to do. And that is the work that each one of the elect of God, along with the instrument, is carrying out at this end time, in the action of the seventh seal on earth, in the midst of the human race. Our goal, to finish the work that God gave us to do. Let us stand and thus leave
in this
subject that we have for today to our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.